Hello, my name is Scott Bird. I'm a senior research principal with Rockman et al. Cooperative, a national research and evaluation firm. I'm thrilled to be part of AAM's virtual long game webinar and to have this opportunity to present a brief synopsis of findings from our recently completed survey with the Association of Children's Museums and 13 independent children's museums on parent caregiver preferences for virtual programming for young children. Evaluation and audience research have had heightened importance during the COVID-19 pandemic as museums seek to make decisions about opening, closing, programming, and exhibits. Over the past year, while many museums have reached out to their visitors to understand under what conditions they might return, most of these studies have focused mainly on health and safety concerns, for example, mask wearing, social distancing, capacity levels, et cetera, and less on cross-institutional research on public preferences for alternative programming, more specifically, remote or virtual learning activities. While one outcome of the pandemic has been a proliferation of museums' online offerings, museums are still wrestling with how much or whether to continue to invest in virtual programming given the considerable time and effort it takes to design and produce these programs. Given this conundrum, we wanted to learn how museums, children's museums in particular, could better design or plan for virtual programs that better aligned with audience needs and interests. Last fall, we reached out to Carol Tang, CEO at the Children's Creativity Museum in San Francisco, and a close friend and colleague, about conducting a pro bono survey amongst Bay Area children's museums to collect parent and caregiver feedback on what they would like to see in virtual programs for their children. With Carol's help, we were able to expand this opportunity to other museums through the Association for Children's Museums Network, eventually working with 13 different children's museums across the country to distribute a simple survey to their members and mailing lists. A range of museums participated in the study, spanning from larger urban-based institutions, such as the Chicago Children's Museum and the Minnesota Children's Museum, to those located in small rural and suburban areas, such as the Children's Museum of Saratoga and the Children's Museum of Sonoma County. The museums in our sample came largely from the Midwest and West Coast, but all major geographic regions of the country were represented to some degree. After many months of varying degrees of lockdown and museum closures, our study's focus was on understanding what types of virtual programming parents want now in children's museums. We were also interested in how virtual program preferences might be influenced by a child's school or care situation, child's age, and the amount of screen time they get each day. Between November 2020 and January 2021, we gathered over 1,200 responses from museum members and visitors. Survey items were developed and field tested in collaboration with a small number of participating museums. Museums were provided a unique link to distribute to their audiences. This allowed them to have access to real-time aggregate reports as well as individual reports filtered to just their own data. The bulk of respondents to the survey were parents or caregivers of children ages 2 to 7, participating in a variety of school and care situations, such as those attending school or daycare in person, those attending virtually, some of the hybrid solution, in person and remote, and some being homeschooled or cared for at home. Our findings show that parent interest in virtual programming is divided. About half of our respondents said they had either no interest or slight interest in virtual programs, while the other half expressed moderate or high interest. Almost 60% of our respondents did indicate their willingness to pay for virtual programming. One overriding concern for participants regarding virtual programming was the amount of screen time that their children are already experiencing. 1 in 5 participants reported that their child spending more than 3 hours on a computer or digital device each day. In addition to screen time concerns, some parents were worried that their children were too young or might not have the attention span to adequately concentrate on virtual programming. Others weren't sure whether they themselves as parents had the capacity to manage the scheduling of both in-class and virtual activities for the parents. We were surprised to find, however, that more screen time did not necessarily coincide with less interest in virtual programs. It appears that everyone's threshold for Zoom fatigue is very different. The fact that 85% of respondents expressed some degree of interest in virtual programming should offer museums some optimism when considering investments in virtual programming as a core institutional activity. Parent interest in virtual programs was linked, however, to the type of schooling or care their child is currently receiving. We found that parents of children who are attending school or daycare in person had lower interest in virtual programs than those whose children were either homeschooled, attending school online, or in a hybrid situation. We were also interested to find that the age of a respondent's child was not related to their interest in virtual programming. This finding might surprise all children, it might not surprise all children's museums. We recently learned on a similar vein that the Habitat Children's Museum in Berkeley, California has been holding sippy cup social time on Zoom for their very young audiences. Despite some of the concerns raised in parents' open-ended responses, it's also clear that during the pandemic, many people are craving a way to reconnect with their local children's museums and to somehow replicate that experience in a home or remote environment. This important finding indicates that when considering virtual programming, children's museums should play to their strengths. Parents showed an interest in programs that offer the kinds of experiential learning that children's museums excel at, which is programs that actively engage participants versus more passive activities, socialization opportunities, such as cooperative activities that encourage sharing, communication, and negotiation with peers and family members, programs that enhance creative and critical thinking skills, kinesthetically oriented experience, such as hands-on science experiments, dance or movement activities, and activities that promote independent learning while also furnishing time for parents to learn alongside their children. We believe that carefully designed virtual programming can meet these needs. Parents clearly did not want activities that replicated what children may already be getting from their virtual or in-person school lessons, such as read aloud or programs that focus on study skills. These are just a few of our findings. We hope that you'll have time to check out our full report on our website, www.rockman.com. We're grateful to have had the opportunity to investigate this important topic and provide some quick feedback to museums as they seek to make decisions on how or whether to invest in virtual programming going forward. While the survey focused on children's museums audiences, there are important lessons here for all museums considering investment in virtual programming. Audiences miss their museums and the special experiences they offer. If visitors are going to spend more time on screen, museums will have to make their programs stand apart from the other ways we spend time online. We are aware that as the pandemic situation changes around us, museums and schools reopening, continued concerns about health and safety, the needs and desires of museum audiences will change as well. This survey prompted insights into the minds of audiences over the fall and winter of 2020. But what may change in the future as more schools and museums reopen, or perhaps face closure again? Will audiences tire of virtual programs, or has the genie been let out of the bottle and remote learning become a mainstay of education and the driver of a visitor's more blended relationship with museums? Can museums use virtual programs to exhibit their reach to the underserved audiences, increase access to diverse communities, or add value to their institutions as trusted sources of information and learning? Where could collaboration between museums or between museums and school districts strengthen both the informal and formal educational landscape? What role can researchers and evaluators play in facilitating this discussion? These are just a few of the questions we hope to explore in future studies. Thanks so much for your time.